From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome. This is Warrior Saturday, September 30th, 2023 on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today, you are my warrior for the next hour and beyond. Community creates change. Thank you for joining me. Let's settle in. Listen up. Get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill. We're coming to you live from New York City. We have so much to cover. I like to say, let's rock and roll. Free speech, 24-hour news talk. That's TNT Radio. You really have no excuse. Check out the episodes tab at tntradio.live. There's so many great shows. Any Warriors episodes you missed, you can catch up. And you know what? We need everybody to step up, because I like to say it's 2023 and it's time for everybody to get involved, to get engaged, to empower, educate, and then be a warrior. You know, we cover headlines regarding human trafficking, sexual exploitation, things to do with families, things to do with education, medical things, and different angles you may not hear on other programs. And the Warriors, we are based on facts, not propaganda. And you need to know just one thing, because we know, I know, you know, this is all so overwhelming. There was so much going on in the United States and also around the globe. Take notice, take action. I like to say the program may be disturbing because it's all true. So buckle up. You know, we're finishing up September, and a little bit of a warning right here. September is National Suicide Prevention Month. And as we enter October, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Now, there's never enough discussion about suicide, domestic violence, human trafficking, but I want you to understand something that we don't talk about a lot, and that is that domestic violence, human trafficking, they intersect each other. You know, this is how I got started with all of this human trafficking and kind of being, oh my goodness, this is happening in the United States. I'm here in New York City. What do you mean this is happening here? Because I was working with an author and a very well-known person who was writing, and I was guiding them through the process, writing a book about domestic violence. And as I was helping this person write the book, researching, blogging, this is where it intersected with human trafficking. And I thought, this cannot be, because like most people who tell me now, I thought this was, you know, Philippines, Thailand, all these other places, but certainly not our United States of America. Certainly, I think I'm knowledgeable and smart. I had no idea about the domestic violence and the prevalence of it. And then also the human trafficking. So this is all tying together, and it ties into suicide. Suicide is an American crisis. The most shocking fact I can share with you right now to wake you up and shake you up is that in emergency rooms across our country, 40% of the children showing up, 9 to 17, so they're just children, teens, think about this, 40% trying to commit suicide, it's very shocking, are 11 and under. Where are they learning about suicide? How are they, the techniques, how are they learning to try to commit suicide? Where are they hearing about all of this? We can certainly talk about the internet. The internet fuels all of this. So we have a lot of issues, a lot of important issues. But I want you to know that there are resources that you need to keep at your fingertips. You need to know that 988, you know, we have 911 for emergencies. So a year ago, July 2022, Suicide Prevention Lifeline said the long phone number we have, nobody can remember it. Nobody, we're going to have 988. They kind of had a glossy campaign. I was promoting it. A lot of people were promoting it. You know what? I gave a workshop to healthcare workers last week in New York City, 47 of them. And I was talking about the indicators of human trafficking and what to look for if you're dealing with a potential person involved in this trafficking and what you would do, because it's not good enough. We know it's all bad. It's not good enough to know, oh, that person may be sex trafficked, labor trafficked, forced servitude. Where's the takeaway? Like, what do you do then in that emergency position thinking this may be a person. I don't know, because most people don't do anything because they're kind of stuck. They don't know what to do. Therefore, they do nothing. That is the worst thing I'm trying to train everybody not to do. Because remember, you can be wrong. You're not going to be held responsible. So now we have this wonderful three-digit code 988 from the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that is a tip for you. Go to this website, suicidepreventionlifeline.org, because even if you're not in a crisis situation, and goodness knows we don't want anybody, but you can just go to this website. You can read, you can call them, the 988, and say, what are my local resources? What are the vetted studies you have? What would you recommend I do? Because a lot of parents say to me, and caregivers, you know, my teenager, I'm not sure. Is this just the hormones or moodiness? Or is this something more? We can never take anything for granted, especially in this day and age. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but you know what? I am, because I want to wake you up. I am seeing too much horror happening, too many children hurt. It doesn't matter. You have to be there. You have to watch. Okay. You have to listen to your child. They want us to listen to them. They want us to ask. I don't care if they fight you, these teens, and they don't want to hear about it. You have to keep doing it and doing it. Think of like brainwashing over and over and over and over again. Just ask them questions, appropriate questions. Okay. Maybe you're making dinner. Maybe you're sitting at the breakfast table. Maybe you're driving in the car to the market. Not too much information, but you got to open it up. We need honest and open communication. And I think that is something that is so lacking today between parents and children, because many parents will say to me, I don't want to bring up suicide because I might make a suggestion and they may then go and do something. Well, I'm here to tell you, we work with a lot of schools across the country, law enforcement, you name it, healthcare, we work with them. And we know that the kids are not going to try to harm themselves because you're talking to them age appropriate about suicide. They need to know that you're there for them. They need to know if they have a problem, they can come to you. You need, though, to have these resources handy so you don't get crazy, start yelling, or just ignore the whole situation. Because let me share with you, every child that I am aware of that has committed suicide, and it's so horrible, it's hard for me to even say this to you. The parents always say to me, we had family dinner, everything was fine. It was a regular school day, everything was fine. And it wasn't fine the next morning. So I am warning you, the kids are suffering. We have a very well-documented youth mental health crisis. We have our own U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek H. Murthy. Now, he's put out in the last year and a half, almost 2 years now, he's put out, he calls them advisories. I call them, these are take actions we all need to know about. I don't call 51 pages of a document an advisory. This is a well-documented youth mental health crisis. The kids are calling for us. We know about COVID. We know everything it caused. We don't have to go through that. But what you do have to know is that we have in America, and this is overall with adults as well, we have one death from suicide every 11 minutes. I always say the numbers are higher. This is what we know about, right? And these studies are always at least like 1 to 2 years behind. So that's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And we know that the ages 10 to 14 is the second leading cause of death for kids 10 to 14. 10 to 14, are you hearing me? And I just read a story about a 9-year-old that killed himself. And my first reaction was, how did he do it? How did he learn this? Why? And the story didn't tell us how he did it. Not that I'm trying to vicariously, like, I'm just like, how, I'm curious, did the internet fuel it? Did somebody else teach him how to do it? There was no follow-up. Like, how did this happen? And it was just a story about how the father said they had a great day and then the child killed himself. Well, obviously something was wrong there. So you need to know this is an American crisis. You need to know, as we enter into this domestic violence month, it goes hand in hand with the trafficking. You need to know with a lot of the trafficking victims, they talk to me. I work right now with people who have gotten out of sex trafficking, who are in sex trafficking, prostitutes, ex-prostitutes, whatever you want to call them, they're in the sex trade. Okay. A lot of them have tried to commit suicide or have succeeded, and definitely know people because they relay their stories to me. So we're going to have to open up our eyes. We are going to have to start talking about these issues again, appropriately, okay? But we're going to have these solutions. So what I want you to know right now, 988. Put it in your phone. I don't care. Put it in a magnet on the side of the fridge, somewhere handy that you have it. Remember, the Warriors, we are always about resources, takeaways, take actions. We want each and every one of you. I can only figure out, I do a lot of work in Washington. I do it at the local level here in New York City, the state level. How are we going to affect change? Twofold. Community, grassroots, starts at the bottom. We have to intervene. We have to prevent. We have to educate. That's number one. Then I'll do the heavy lifting in Washington. Bipartisan bills. We have six of them right now sitting on the floor of Congress. Six of them with the 118th Congress. Again, I remind you, bipartisan, belong to no political party. How come we can't get any child safety bills across the finish line? I don't want to hear Congress is busy with, I don't know what they're talking about today, but our precious children, people, human beings, these are human rights abuses. And when I say bipartisan, I'm talking about truly bipartisan, coming together, whether it is online safety or real-time safety. We've got the internet. It's the genie out of the bottle. It's a runaway train. It's not going away. We all live online. I'm not giving away my giving up my internet. But what we can do is we can put safety features and filters. What we can do is talk to our children about what is appropriate. What we can do is be aware of who they are, their friends are online. Because the one thing is, I'm here to tell you, and I know this for a fact, every platform you're on, your children are on, family members, there are predators. The predators are 10 steps ahead of law enforcement. They're 10 steps ahead of you and me. That's just the facts. Wherever the kids are, so are the predators. Gaming, doesn't matter. Snapchat, kids can buy drugs with two clicks. We got to get a hold of this. I say this because the internet was born in 1996, basically. I don't think anybody anticipated all of this horror that's happening. But you know what? The internet, their argument is, and rightfully so, I'm not a lawyer, but if I was, I would make this argument that they are always making with Congress or, you know, any of the big tech companies. We're just a billboard. We just have third party, you know, people putting, we can't be held responsible for cyberbullying or if somebody learned on TikTok how to commit suicide. I get it. It's a very slippery slope here, but there has to be a way. And this is what I'm tired of. There has to be a way to rein this in somehow with children. And right now, big tech, a lot of money, a lot of lobbyists. You know, I can go down there to Washington. Nobody's paying me to talk about child safety. And these people, because I had it happen to me, will barge right up to you. If you're talking to a senator or congressperson, they will knock you right out of the way. They're getting paid $1,500, $2,000 an hour to talk up their big tech platforms. You know, I don't like to say this, but it's the truth. Follow the money. Let's face it, bipartisan in Congress, two sides of the same coin. They're not going to rock the boat. I've come to this conclusion. I'm being truthful with you, because when these people leave Congress, they want to be on the boards of big tech where there's a lot of money. They want to be on bank boards. So there's a lot of complicit things going on here. So this is why we have to become a warrior in our own home, in our own community, realize, wake up what's happening. And I do say a lot of people since COVID are more awake than ever. We certainly saw with the parents and children with the schools, and we had over 800,000 Chromebooks issued across the United States. And parents would say, oh my goodness, all of a sudden I looked over, little Susie was doing math, and all of a sudden there's this hardcore porn. What is going on here? So we're awake. We have to get more awake. We have to engage our family members to be awake. Remember, it's not just your family digital partnership within the home. It's the aunts, the uncles, the friends of your children. And I'm here to tell you also, you have to talk to your kids, because we also know by the age 11, kids are seeing hardcore porn. We know from the schools across the country, the teachers report to us. The kids are on the phones day and night exchanging nude images of themselves. They think nothing of it. It's normal for them. We have to be the warrior to break that mold and make them understand this is not okay. Because I guarantee we have an epidemic of sextortion right now, especially among teenage boys. So they think they're talking perhaps to another teen, a girl. It turns out you send me your picture, I'll send you mine. They do it once. The next thing is, okay, do this for me, do that. The child will say to me, I thought it was wrong, but I did it. I got scared. And it's usually a 50-year-old guy named Biff or something. It's not a 16-year-old teen talking. And instead of the child being able to go to that parent or caregiver and said, I did this, I made a mistake, they're killing themselves. And the media does not talk about this. We have a rash of teen suicides, boys killing themselves over these nude images. So we as the adults have to understand, okay, if this scenario happens, how do I handle it? I want my child to come to me. We cannot allow these strangers to dominate our families. We cannot allow these strangers to take away our precious children. So again, that is 988. Understand that phone number. Understand that is for suicide prevention, even if you're not in crisis, just to talk. And then what about the domestic violence? So much goes hand in hand with the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking, forced servitude, forced begging, forced surrogacy, organ harvesting. We'll leave that for a while. That's a whole program in and of itself. But we've got all this in the United States. And, you know, we have an estimation of about 50 million right now. Again, it's going to be higher. This is what we know about, are involved in human trafficking. This is the major, most pressing human rights issue of our time. The idea of trafficking is very simple: force, fraud, or coercion to control. You're controlling somebody, usually to engage in commercial sex or labor against their will. And, you know, I don't want to hear about that. We all use it, the National Human Trafficking Hotline. But you know what? I don't want to use it anymore. Because you know what? They don't answer fast enough. They don't provide resources fast enough. We have to do it. You have to know. What if your child came to you and said, okay, I shared this nude image. Now this person wants me to do this, do that. What do you do? Always report 911 immediately. Put in a report. I don't care what they say about law enforcement. Get your report in. Number two, you need to call cybertipline.org if it involves a child. Cybertipline.org is the website. They will take the case for you. You could be totally wrong, make a mistake. You're not held accountable. Because so many people say, what if I'm wrong? I'm accusing. You're not accusing. They will take the case over. It's just so important to recognize these issues. Think of a big wheel with a lot of spokes. And all these spokes, it makes this wheel go around. So we have to recognize the importance of human trafficking and domestic violence. They don't occur in silos. There is a marked overlap in behaviors that both abusers and traffickers use to exert, again, this power, this control over a victim. We also have a lot of this intimate partner trafficking. That's where the domestic violence also falls in, forcing them into this sex trafficking, compelling their partner to engage in commercial sex. We have teenage boys now. We have 9th, 10th grade with girlfriends. These are children getting their girlfriends. Can you imagine these babies, these teens, getting their girlfriends involved with the trafficking? Again, why? Because there's money, and it's also power and control. So they use this physical violence, this emotional manipulation, this overbearing control. These are the hallmarks of domestic violence. So we all have to understand what is going on. You know what? A great organization for domestic violence is NNEDV.org, National Network Against Domestic Violence in Washington, NNEDV.org. And I give out these resources. Take your time. Just go read about, maybe you have local resources in your area. Maybe you don't. Find out what's available to you. There's a lot of free out there. The Warriors, we are always about free, 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 because we know all of you are overburdened right now with expenses and trying to, take care of the families, take care of the bills. We got a lot going on. This is the last thing you want to think about, but I'm here to say it's an American crisis. You have to think about all of this. Coming up, the one, the only, Dr. Lois Lee, founder of Children of the Night, established in 1979 with a specific purpose to provide intervention in the lives of children who are sexually exploited and vulnerable to or involved in prostitution and pornography. This is a must listen. Don't go anywhere. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Charlie Robinson.
For people that are sort of coming to this information recently and don't really know, like, who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? You know, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes. I agree. It is hard to tell. But I'll tell you what, if you want a good barometer for this, anybody that is working for or with the United Nations, they're the bad guys. Okay? It's pretty simple. They're not uniting nations in like a peace and harmony and kumbaya sort of way. They're uniting nations nations into a world government. The United Nations was started by David Rockefeller. That's the plan. This is not some altruistic endeavor. It's going to go around and save humanity. They're not going to help everybody out with the World Health Organization and make sure, hey, listen, they're in charge of health for the world. They've got to be doing something right. Wrong. These people are the problem. This is a group that's been around for a while, and they're into all kinds of things. And sometimes they're named, you know, the organizations are named United Nations, you know, whatever. But sometimes they're not. And that is, I think, by design, so that you don't really know exactly who you're dealing with.
Charlie Robinson on TNT Radio.
1 in 4 people in Northern Ireland will be affected by depression in their lifetime. In fact, Northern Ireland has the highest rate of depression in the UK. Despite this, there's still a stigma attached to talking about it and mental illness in general. At Aware, we're trying to change that. Our story began in 1996 in Derry, Londonderry, when a small group of people came together with a shared vision to improve services for people with depression and bipolar disorder. This meeting led to the establishment of 25 peer-led support groups and the start of Aware, the depression charity for Northern Ireland. Providing support is at the heart of what we do, and we involve people with personal experience of depression at every level in the organisation, so that those who use our services have a say in how they're developed. We believe that talking to others who know how you feel is an important step in your journey to recovery. We've developed a range of education programmes which we deliver in schools, universities, community venues, prisons, hospitals and workplaces. These programmes provide attendees with the tools to look after their mental and emotional well-being and help them to recognise the signs of mental ill health and know where to get help. We have a range of online services, including online support groups and programmes, and an interactive website offering support and information. We've been raising the profile of mental health and increasing public awareness about depression through our public talks and outreach events. We work in partnership with local government and voluntary organisations to maximise our impact. Back when we founded Aware, depression was an illness talked about in whispers. A lot has changed since then, and we're having a real impact by breaking down the stigma. But we still have work to do. Aware's vision is a future where nobody is too ashamed to talk about their mental health. And we believe that everyone in Northern Ireland should have access to services appropriate to their needs. Join us. Donate, volunteer, campaign, or even just start a conversation about mental health today. Together, we can overcome depression and change lives.
Visit aware-ni.org. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is an honor to have Dr. Lois Lee join me. She was one of the first people I met when I started saying to myself, you know what? I must do more to help children, sex trafficked, prostituted here in the United States, New York City, my own backyard. Our mutual friend, Roseanne Barr, said to me, because I all of a sudden I became crazed about the subject. And she said, you know, you have to really meet Dr. Lee. And I'm like, who is this Dr. Lee? And we eventually did meet. And I have to say, Dr. Lois Lee is a role model for me. She is the real deal. I like to call her OG. And I say that with love. Original, getting the job done. Or I could call Dr. Lee original gangster, but I won't call her that. That's the slang term. She is the one that I admire and have been admiring even more and more lately as I'm going back and reviewing things that she told me several years ago that I now know she was right, Dr. Lee. So first, we're going to start with welcome Dr. Lois Lee to the Warriors.
Great to see you and hear from you, Lynn. It's been a long time. I was trying to reach you and then all of a sudden you popped up. So that's the way the world works.
It was, I'm not going to say that dirty word that starts with a C. It was that whole COVID era that, but that is the time, Dr. Lee, that I isolated. I officially formed like all the proper steps to have a nonprofit, the Warriors. I educated myself. I read everything I get my hands on. I tried to help because, as you know, at that time, the services were cut. People couldn't get together in person. And I was providing everything from, you know, toiletries to people, just putting a hand on the shoulder, just talking to them hours on the phone or the internet, actually helping victims and women still prostituted. I was trying to be like that sister. But anyway, enough of that, because I want to talk all about you. I need to mention some of your incredible background. We don't have time to go into everything. Again, I bow to you. And Dr. Lois, I don't say that to anybody. You know, I'm tough. It's like, I don't bow to anybody. I bow to you. I'm really in awe of you, your resilience, your overwhelming work that you do in this very dark, dark area. And you are the leading expert in rescuing child sex trafficking victims. You hold a PhD in sociology and anthropology, a Juris Doctor in law, active member of the California State Bar. In 1973, you wrote The Pimp and His Game, the basis of all of your trainings and thousands of members of law enforcement. You train an expert testimony in state and federal courts since the 80s. And as a PhD student in sociology in 1979, you discovered some as young as 11 years old children prostituting on the streets of Hollywood for food to eat and a place to sleep. And then you realized these children were falling through the cracks and you had to do something. And you made it your mission, opening your home to more than 250 children over the next 3 years. And you founded Children of the Night, where you continue to serve as the president. Everybody, I urge you, childrenofthenight.org, support Dr. Lee and Children of the Night. Go there, but don't go there until after you hear us speak. So, Dr. Lois, that's what I'm going to call you tonight. This is just some of your credits, because there's been so much incredible, movies, books, all of this. You've been so instrumental in all of this. And before we start, I just want to say to you, you said a few things to me when I first met you, and it all came true. It came true as far as be on the lookout for that one, be on the lookout for this one. I've come to realize, when I say you're the real deal, you're the real deal, because a lot of these people out there are fakes and phonies and running around with their schemes or whatever they're doing, and they're not helping children or women or, you know, boys and girls. And that's why we're doing this, to help. So just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I am touched and I'm so happy we're back together and we're going to do some great things. But first, share. We go back to 73. You were a student. You're writing. What happened?
It was a civil rights movement, and I was reviewing all the civil rights literature, and I was astounded at how African-American men treated their women. And I was also astounded how women responded to it. And as a result of that, I started to delineate, do a typology of what they were saying and what they were doing and the strategies, and came up with 22 tried and true strategies of basically how to get a woman to do whatever you want to do. It sounds very crass, but that's what it was about. And the more I looked around, and Pimp, I think the film that there was, that Pimp's Superfly had just come out. And it was all, he was using all of those strategies in the film. And then I asked Muslims that I went to school with to take me out on the streets and to take me to some of the pimp bars. And they were like floored and they said no. And then I just went by myself and they were in the clubs. And so, of course, they protected me. And then I asked police officers to take me out, and I talked to girls and I'd go, well, what did he say to you? And I would find out that everything matched. And it got to a point to where a young girl or even an older prostitute could say something to me and I could say, yes, and he told you that you weren't pretty enough to be a prostitute. And she'd go, how do you know that? And I became an expert basically as an academic and also through interviews. And because I had that knowledge, I had a special relationship with women and children who are working as prostitutes, because they knew I knew about the game. And the interesting thing was that when I had a period from 1979 to 1981, over 250 children came through my house and lived in my house, and they never stole anything from me except for all of my civil rights books. And they would take them back when they weren't back to the pimps. And they'd say the pimps are good. That's a radical bitch. Excuse my French. But that scared them, because they knew that I knew. And I knew the game. And the only power in the game is the secrecy. And so to let the girls know that this is a game. In the shelter, when we had a shelter for 25 years, and kids would say, Lois, do Pimp and His Game, do Pimp and His Game, for the new kids who would come in. And And I would stand in the center of the room like a staff meeting, and I would go through the strategies, and it's very dramatic. It's on our website if you want to see it. It's down, I think, to 15 strategies now. I've made it more available to the public because there's a lot of foul language in it. And I'd go through it, and then kids would just, some would stand up and start screaming and crying and go, it was just a game. He really didn't love me. It was just a game. And it was a really important tool to break the tie that the pimp had on the girl, because many of these girls were in love with these guys. And then it got out to law enforcement. I think it was in Las Vegas first. And so they had me come in and do training with Las Vegas Vice. And then they started doing trainings for local law enforcement across the country. And they bring in hundreds and hundreds of Vice cops, and they'd have me come in and teach it. And then the FBI got involved, and I taught them. And I regret that a lot, involving them at all, because they tended to use it for their own purposes in order to get girls to give them information. And then they would lock them up and hold them until they testify, where the local law enforcement would not do that. And I have no beefs with local law enforcement. However, their hands are tied in many ways by federal legislation, what they can do and they can't do. The Department of Justice thinks they invented child prostitution, and they don't really know what they're doing. They just, if they did, they wouldn't have to put girls and hold them in solitary confinement in juvenile hall. I mean, I even had one of the heads of the FBI tell me that any kids that I had in my shelter were not allowed to go to the beach. They were not allowed to have therapists. They weren't allowed to talk to anybody about their cases. They were not to leave the facility. I said, I don't run a prison. I won't be taking your kids. And everybody was aghast the way we spoke to each other. And he said, you're a 501c3. I said, yeah, I am. Go ahead. Go for it. And I'm pretty, you know, everything I do is legitimate and legal. And it's had to be, because, you know, I've got, you know, so many threats on every angle. I mean, whether it's Department of Justice or whether it's a pimp on the streets or a Crip gang member, which we've kind of just, we have just declared war with the Crips in South Central Los Angeles and Figueroa. And we've plastered the streets with $100,000 of billboards and bus shelters about children of the night. And they're starting to try and tear them down, and the police are going after them, and we're going to testify and put them in jail for damaging our property. So we're at war, and it's a tough game. And I say game because it's really made up of a series of manipulations and threats and intimidations.
I've got to post pictures of those billboards and things and advertise this. So then you go and, you know, I call it, Dr. Lois, like a calling, like a nun. This is how I compare it, at least for me. Like, I have to do it. I can't stop myself. I guess you feel the same way. Like, you have to, Sister Lois, you had to. Did you feel like you had to? You had to do it. Like, I can't stop. Sometimes I'm like, why are you even doing this, Lynn? I talk to myself and I'm like, because I have to. I cannot stop.
Well, initially, I liked the fight. You know, I started by suing the police department for not arresting the customers. And then I found children on the streets, and I taught them about kids on the streets, and I was fighting with them in the courts. I liked that part. I loved that part. I was drawn to that part. But then it's as I was finding more and more kids, there was one night that I went down to the Greyhound bus depot and found 5 or 6 boys who came to my house. And I had 11 kids sleeping in the living room of my floor.
Wow.
And I was in bed. And as I was falling asleep, I teared up and I said, God, why me? Why do I have to do this? I was going to be a college professor and live at the beach where I'd grown up and have all the holidays off and spend my summers in Paris and write a book on prostitution. It's, why do I have to do this? And I teared up and I fell asleep. And the next morning I got up and my feet hit the ground, and I've not stopped since. So I talked about getting out. At one point, I went to law school because I wanted to do the other part of the fight. But I was never, ever able to get out. And one of the problems is the fact is I'm really good at what I do. And I get really frustrated when I see other people try and help these kids, and they just fumble because they don't understand or because they don't have the compassion required to do this work. It requires a lot of compassion.
And that, Dr. Lois, is what I realized. They treat it, I call it, like 9-to-5ers. They don't have the compassion. They have no passion at all. And I would be in Washington looking around the room and be like, what are these people doing? They're just saying, this is so horrible. This is so bad. But there was no passion. There was no takeaway. There was no, like, here's our strategy to help. Now let's fast forward to Children of the Night. How did you even get them off the ground? And then I want you to have the floor. Now, all these years later, look at how many things we're still at this war with children and people. Like, it hasn't really gotten any better. But go ahead, speak about Children of the Night and kind of the landscape happening and your thoughts on how the internet, I'm throwing a lot at you, but how the internet has kind of fueled a lot of things, whatever you want.
Well, I had all these kids in my house coming and going. It wasn't really a program. I had kids who were transsexuals or trying to be transsexuals, the little boys who were 11 and 12 and 13 years of age, stealing girls' birth control pills. I mean, I'm really well-versed in the entire subject. And it just got to a point to where there's this little documentary, a 10-minute like news magazine show done on me. And I got a call from someone who prefers to be anonymous, who was part of the Reagan Kitchen Cabinet, President Reagan Kitchen Cabinet. And he said, he called in some women. He said, I want you to put her together. I want this, put this whole thing together for her. He says, this needs to be institutionalized. And the women wouldn't do it. They said, no,
she's of course.
Too risky. She's just, I'm blonde, I'm 25 years old, I'm wearing jeans, t-shirts with no bra. I mean,
well, there you go, Dr. Lois. There you go.
So California.
Egos
girls.
And jealous. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So anyway,
and so
I struggled. I continued to struggle, and I was in the media a lot and fighting with the police and helping these kids. And a girlfriend of mine called me and said, come on, I'm gonna take you to sushi. She had happened to be Playboy Playmate of the Year, Cindy Wood, that year. And we went to have sushi. And she said, you know, Hefner watches everything that you do. He has a clipping service. He clips, has everything clipped that's in the news media. He's fascinated. He'll help you. He wants to help you. He won't let anybody at the mansion speak badly about you because some of the guys were making jokes. And he'd say, no one will ever speak about her again like that in this house. And she says, you got to call him for help. I said, okay. So a couple days later, I put on my suit. I went to the Playboy building and to speak to the attorney and not the mansion, but the building. And I said to the attorney who I knew that I wanted Hefner to help me. And he said, you have to be out of your mind. He's not going to help you. I said, you have to ask him. And if you don't, I'll know. And he called me in the next day and I walked into this huge maple room with a maple conference table, all these lawyers, these men in suits looking at me, trying to figure me out, going, well, he's going to help you, but he doesn't know how. So we started with a grant from the Playboy Foundation, which was really money that was used to feed the kids that were living with me. And then he wanted to help more. And I did a benefit. I started picking up a lot of publicity and I picked up interest from American International Pictures and celebrity interest and did a premiere. And Hef, you know, came to that. And it was funny because when he came to the after party, the girls who were at the door who were handing out, you know, the cards, the information on the program were all my girlfriends. They were also girls who hung out at the mansion. And so he saw that I was trying to do it in a really dignified way. And he said to me, Lois, if I would have known you were going to handle it this way, I would have let you have the party at the house. I'd asked my daughter to host it. And that's what we did the following year. So he was really my sole source of support for a long time and created a lot of controversy that didn't really hurt us. It helped us. I mean, people that weren't going to give me money weren't going to give me money anyway because they found my children repugnant. Because I couldn't dress them in pink and blue and they weren't going to, you know, they did weird things with their hair. They did weird things with jewelry. They were provocative. They weren't sweet little kids. You were going to dress them pink and blue and pat them on the head. So we had this drop-in center in the heart of Hollywood and the police came to gather support because I kept finding 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds and stuff people just couldn't believe. And I was out there by myself and I was involved in the Hillside Strangler investigation and I was such big news. And I was really a little girl out there by myself. And everybody said, you know, well, we back her. I mean, a little girl came to me and says, I know who backs you. I said, who? She says, the mafia. I said, how do you know that? She says, well, I was in the bar at Barney's Beanery last night. And this guy said, you know who backs Lois Lee? And she says, no, who? And he says, the mafia. And then someone else tells me that the police department backs me. And it's just, it was all over the place. And thank goodness, but it really was just me. And I was able to slide by. What happened was then CBS did a movie of the week on me, and it didn't really raise any money. But what happened is every child and every shelter saw that film, and my phones were ringing off the hook. And the CEO for, or the senior vice president from Playboy said, you know, Lois, if you could get 60 minutes to do a story on you, and he guided me a lot. He says, you could have that home you want. And I had to go to a toy conference in New York. So I go to the toy conference. They put me on television. I promote their toys. They said, wow, you're really good. If we would have known, you know, we could hire you to do this and do that, but we're not going to give you money for your kids for child abuse. And I said, why? And they said, because it'll look like we're supporting child abuse. So, geez, I was really let down. There was another children's organization, the guy who started the wagon trains for kids, taking them out of juvenile hall. And he said, come have breakfast. And the next morning we're having breakfast. And this woman leans across the table and she says to me, Lois, my name is Mimi Edmonds, and I'm with 60 Minutes, and I'm going to do a story on you. And I went, well, let's do it on the kids, or let's do it on the system. And she said, no, I'm going to do it on you. And I came back and I told Richard S. Rosenzweig, the senior vice president of Playboy, I said, 60 Minutes is going to do a story on me. And he said, of course they are, because it became such a joke. He would like give me this guidance of what I should do next. And I would always be able to pull it off. And it was just happened. And the 60 Minutes piece helped me raise $7 million to build a world-class shelter home, 24-bed shelter home with a private school. Kids went on outings every Friday. They went to the movies. They went to entertainment centers. We celebrated every holiday. At Christmas, we celebrated Christmas around the world with every culture you can imagine, with their foods. It was a wonderful place with a private school. It put many kids through high school. Excuse me.
And that's, and that, Dr. Lois, is what we don't have now. The beds, the facility, a place for, you know, psychological, holistic healing, ongoing with the trauma. Childrenofthenight.org is the website. Let me ask you something. This is so wonderful, everything. I'm very serious with my alkalades because I don't really give them out, Dr. Lois, to anybody. I'm finding fault with everybody, but that's another story. What do you think about today? What's going on? You've been doing this now for decades. Before we get into what you're actually doing with Children of the Night right now, but just the overall landscape, we have so many issues. We've got the internet, which you didn't have when you started all of this. We've got open borders now, which we haven't had them like this. What are your feelings? You've seen a lot. You've done a lot. What do you think?
I think too much is made of this. Excuse me. I think too much is made of the internet. I don't see, well, since Backpage.com was seized by the Department of Justice, all the internet sites are offshore, and they won't answer subpoenas and they won't work with law enforcement. So there's no one on the internet that will cooperate with law enforcement. The DOJ shot themselves in the foot with that one. In terms, I see a lot of self-promoters doing this rescue work, and they only tell part of the story, not the second half of the story, which is, what do you do with these children? Do you return them to the parents who sold them in the first place? Are there foster homes? Let's face it. Who wants a 14-year-old girl who's big-busted, who's provocative, who's prostituted, who's very sexually active? Who wants to take her in as a foster kid? And the person that does, I think, is very suspect. So there's no setups in order to take care of these kids. And that is really frustrating and very, very sad. So with the border, I believe that the Democrats, or Biden in particular, created the open border to create an international trafficking problem for America, because they're laughingstock worldwide. America's child prostitution problem is homegrown. It's a domestic problem. The children come from dysfunctional homes. They've lost their sexual dignity. They're victims of incest. They've been gang raped. It's not like Italy, where you've got girls coming from Nigeria or Sweden, from China, from Asia, from all the other different places, from Romania. And the Europeans, quite frankly, laugh at America and go, where do these people get all their numbers and their PowerPoints? Because that's really the way America deals with the problem. There's no real money for food, for beds, for education. It's a laughing matter to think that you would take a child into a home who's been on the streets and then send her to public school. It's not workable. And right. quite frankly, we would still be in business as a shelter, except the Department of Justice, that the federal government created a law in 2019 that said anyone who had contact with a child who was a trafficking victim was to contact the human trafficking hotline, which was a front for the FBI. And the FBI would interview the child. And if there's a pimp involved, they'd grab her, put her in juvenile hall in solitary confinement, and hold her until she testified against the pimp. And if there wasn't a pimp involved, they'd terminate the parental rights and they put her in foster care. So we didn't lose money. We lost kids. And that meant no law enforcement, no hospital, no shelter, or anybody who received government money. We were not part of that gang, could refer a child who was prostituting to our agency. So the kids said, I can't stay. I'm not testifying. I'm not going to work with the cops. And I said, wait, I'm going with you. And so I sold our shelter building and I mobilized our case management and our tutoring, and I took our school and put it online. And I'm really happy with the way it's worked out. And we increased our number of kids by 90%. So we have helped more kids and continue to help more kids than all the sex
trafficking
combined.
Everybody else, Dr. Lois, everybody else. I'm just bursting in here on you. Everybody else, because I am telling you, you told me these things in the beginning about the human trafficking hotline. Everything you told me is true. So now you've got the program online, which is terrific, especially during that whole COVID period. How is this? You have what, 70 to 80% success rate?
Yes.
I saw that on your website, which I think is tremendous, tremendous. Where do you see all this going? Going to continue, obviously.
We're
going
to continue to operate as long as we can. I mean, we're doing case management. We still rescue kids from pimps. We still provide them food, rental assistance. We do everything that we did. We have a private dermatologist in Beverly Hills that removes their tattoos. We have private practice dentists, doctors. We still have all of our resources. We just don't do the bed and breakfast portion. And the kids don't really want it because they don't want to be in one place where they can be identified by law enforcement. They like to keep on the move. I don't know what's going to happen. I do see that as these kids are incarcerated, that they are, we don't have sweet talking pimps anymore. That's over. Gang members are running these girls, and the Crips is the name of the gang. They're running these girls and they're dangerous. And then we hear on the East Coast that there's different kinds of different ethnic groups of organized crime that are running these girls, and they really can't get out. I had one young lady who lived in the shelter who'd called me and told me, she says, I was really trafficked. I was trafficked this time. They locked me up, Lois. And then we were able to get her into a drug program. The police wanted to talk to her. And I said, she's in a drug program. They can't really touch her as long as she's in a medical facility. And she still has not talked to them, and she refuses to. So we continue to help her. I don't know, you know, Children of the Night has an alumni board of directors. We have women that have gone through the program who are very, very successful. They're PhDs, they're bankers, they're therapists, they're teachers. And they are granting scholarships. They have a certain amount of money that we've granted them to give out scholarships for college and for unique things that young ladies want to do. For instance, one young lady wanted to go to eyelash school, and we gave her a $600 grant to go to eyelash school. And she just got her first, she works at the airport, but she also got her first job in a salon so she can make extra money. Who would do that? So because they're alumni, they know the peculiarities and they know the non-traditional right. routes many of our children will take. Our scholarship will be an endowment that will last forever and ever. In terms of the frontline services, running the direct services is very, very hard. You constantly have to watch people's boundaries. Sometimes it can be dangerous. And that's something you have to stay on top of. I'm really good at it. And as long as I'm around, I can continue to do that. Our school's online, and that works really, really well for the GED. And we, as a matter of fact, we just hosted our annual graduation and flew in kids from all over the U.S. There were, I think, 8 of them who graduated with a high school diploma, and they got to go to Universal Studios, who donated tickets, and we put them at the Sheraton Universal, and it was pretty fabulous. And they came out and they were very nervous about what was happening, who the people were that were going to be at the event. We explained, everybody here gives us money. They work for us. Everybody's involved in some way. And then I had the alumni with me at the welcoming dinner, and I realized the kids were so uncomfortable. I asked the alumni to go around and tell their stories. And all of a sudden you could see, you too. And then chat, chat, chat. And they all clicked, and it was really wonderful. There'll be a video on our website soon. It's in production.
Oh, good. Now. I will make sure I share that, childrenofthenight.org. I could speak to you all day and night. This is to be continued. Finish us up. We have about 2 minutes. Finish us up with what you want everyone to know right now.
I want everyone to know that all of our kids are at high risk for everything. I don't like the politics that are going on. I don't like the gender confusion. I don't like the gender transitioning. I mean, there's certainly a way to do that and a way not to do that, but I don't like teachers being involved. I don't like parents being cut out. I don't like the sexualization of children. The incest is up, rape is up, gangs are taking kids away from their families, and families can't go to the police, because if they go to the police, the gangs will kill their families and their other children. We're in a really bad situation. We need a really strong right arm to set criminal justice straight, to set a lot of our federal agencies straight, and to get them to do the hard work. They need to get out from behind their computers and get out on the streets like they have done in the past to fight organized crime in the old days. It's a real war.
Amen. It is a war on for our children, and children are adults are included when I say there is a war on for our children, for everybody. Dr. Lois Lee, thank you so much for joining me today on Lynn's Warriors. Your career, your passion, your work really is without peer. And I am honored that you spent time with me again, childrenofthenight.org. I urge everyone to go there, help, be a part of this truly amazing organization. The kids need you. Dr. Lois needs you. We all need you. So remember, it's up to each and every one of us. Thank you, Dr. Lois Lee, for joining us today.
See you soon, Lynn. Thank you.
Take care. You know, thank you for listening, everyone. Write to me. I'm always open for questions. Get answers. TNTradio.live, 24-hour news talk. We are here for you. Thank you always to Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our producer, our entire TNT family for giving us this platform to share this critical and crucial information. Expert guests like Dr. Lois Lee. You know, this is the best. You need to get this information. You need to share. You need to know where to go. Always go to lynnswarriors.org, childrenofthenight.org. Please intervene, protect kids. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk TNT Radio. Remember, today and every day, it is 2023. I say this very slowly because I know people sometimes complain I talk fast, and I do. I'm going to say it's very slowly. It is 2023. We can no longer sit on the sidelines. It is time to take action. We need to engage. We need to educate, empower. First yourselves, you have to know what's going on. You have to know the landscape, and you have to face it. It has to be open and honest communication. Enough of this hiding, not talking about it, being embarrassed. So what? We have to be in charge of our own children. But remember, when you have these wonderful people like Dr. Lois Lee out there for decades now, doing the real work. I call her boots on the ground. She's a warrior because she's providing. It's not just this rescue save we keep hearing about. It is providing the services that are critically and crucially needed. Again, childrenofthenight.org. Go there right now. Remember, it's up to us. Nobody's coming to save us. And we have to help all of the children, all of the people out there. It's time. Community creates change. I want to leave you with this. Remember, each and every day, you must go out there and be a warrior. Thank you.